What's up? What's up? I'm Princess, your host for Conversations with a Blogger, and I am the creator of the Mom and Me blog. Be sure you tune in each week for great content, share with your friends, and visit my website at www.themomandmeblog.com.
Is Ashanti Rivera. She is actually my sister, same mother, same father. And she is a doula, placenta encapsulation specialist, and a whole bunch of other stuff. So what do you want our listeners to know about you and your business and your charity and all of that good stuff?
So if you're listening, thank you for tuning in. I really like to let people know what a doula is, because there's a big misconception still about what a doula is and what they do. A lot of people tend to think that the doula actually catches the babies. So first and foremost, if you don't know what a doula is, we are someone who supports women through their pregnancy, through their labor, and often through the postpartum period. We offer emotional support. We offer physical support. We offer educational support. We provide resources for the moms and really just help them by being there for them all the time. Whereas, you know, a lot of parents, they don't want to call their doctor or their nurse for every little question that they have. And a lot of the times they're just winging it, not knowing what they're doing, asking questions in mom groups that are given horrible trash advice. So yep. a doula is so beneficial for anybody. And for myself, a little bit about me more in detail. I have 5 kids, and even for my 5th labor and pregnancy, I hired a doula for myself, even though I'm a doula, because I feel that is that important to have that level of support. And it doesn't matter if you have a C-section, doesn't matter if you're planning to have an epidural, just having that support around you, that unbiased person, even if you have a good partner. Like, I have a good husband.
I was going to say, even if you have a husband or whatever, you still want that extra support.
Right, because there's some things that a doula is trained to do that even your support person can't help you with. You get, you know, some basic information about supporting your partner through labor if you take a childbirth education class, but it's not as in-depth as the training that a doula has. So your doula is going to be able to support you with other techniques and things that they don't teach you in your basic childbirth education class. So a doula also doesn't take the place of your partner. Your doula helps you and your partner. Your doula can teach your partner how to support you during the labor and teach your partner those techniques, because sometimes when it comes around to it, you know, during labor, the mom might not even want the doula. And so it's helpful that the doula has taught the partner how to utilize those techniques to help, you know, the mom during the labor. So it really is beneficial for everybody. And as a doula, I've been in the room where sometimes the dad is nervous and, you know, he doesn't want to leave the mom. And I'm like, hey, I got this. It's okay to go have a nap. It's okay to go have lunch. Right. I'll let you know if anything is going
Especially first time parents, because they be nervous.
Yeah. And they feel good to know that, you know, you built that bond with them during their pregnancy. So they trust you, and they feel good to know that somebody's in that room with their wife or their girlfriend or whatever, you know, through the whole time, that they're not being left alone and they're going to miss something, because you can't really, I'm sorry to say, I love you nurses, but you can't really depend on the nurses to really care about anybody who's not in the room when stuff is happening. Like, if stuff's happening and the husband's not there, they're going to be like, well, we got to move, you know?
Right,
and
exactly.
Who's going to be there to call you? So your doula is really there for the whole family. They can help occupy your kids. And, you know, like I said, there are postpartum doulas. So even if you don't have a doula during your pregnancy or labor, you can hire a postpartum doula. They come in and they're really there for mom. Like, they're not like, you know, I want to come over and hold the baby just because. They're like, no. We feed you. We cook your food. It's almost like having a housekeeper. Yeah, like that. So we could help you with with your laundry and your chores. Not like, oh, we'll hold the baby so you can get laundry done, like some of your family members want
to
do.
Because
they want
to
come over
rest,
and like,
so that doesn't even make sense.
I know. I hate to say it, but even Ma has come over and like, oh, let me hold the baby so you could go do dishes. Like, I don't want to go do dishes.
But you know what? I don't think people think about that because they think you need a break from the baby. No, I need to chill. I don't need to do anything. I can hold the baby and relax. Help, can just clean my house.
I think after I had Nate, which for those of you listening, that's my third child, my mom actually came over one time and was like, I'll hold the baby so you can go do whatever you got to do. And while I was out in the kitchen, she was like, could you make me some toast?
Like,
you're
what
out
kind
there?
Of shit is that?
Like, no, I'm not making you anything.
I'm like, how about me? But you know what? I've seen people like in other cultures and shit who have like a whole team of people, I guess, including a doula or a midwife, and they literally will just be laying there and like they, like their team of people won't even let them do shit. They'll be like, okay, we'll get this, we'll do that. Somebody's doing this, somebody's cleaning, somebody's cooking, somebody's doing laundry, somebody's brushing her hair, somebody's brushing her teeth. Like, they don't let her do shit.
That's prominent in like African culture and especially Asian culture. Primarily is well known for that. There's actually a book out there for anybody who's interested, and forgive me if I get the name not completely right, but it's like the first 40 days or something like that. You can find it on Amazon. It has to do with the first 40 days being a time where the mother is not to do anything. She's not to go outside. Right. Like, it's from like an Asian culture, and basically like they will bring you a potty seat to your room. Like, they don't want you to even leave your room, basically. The book has different recipes in it, so it gives you recipes for ancient foods that are known to like warm and nourish your womb so that you can recover, a lot of soups and things like that. And they tell you a little bit about the history of the culture. And it's basically mothering the mother is what us doulas know it as. Like, when somebody else is taking care of the mom who's just had a baby. So it's mothering the mother. And it's a really good read. And, you know, for anybody who's preparing to have a baby and you want to just make sure that you take some time for yourself, even if it's not 40 days, but it has some, like I said, some really good recipes in there for some nourishing soups and different types of foods that are good for you after you give birth, to help you recover and heal. But yeah, it's really common in a lot of, you know, cultures that the whole family is involved in taking care of the mother and making sure she's eating and drinking and, you know, nursing the baby if you're breastfeeding and all kinds of.
I was gonna say, because there's some cultures where they'll even nurse your baby for you.
Yep.
Just so you can rest.
Yep, and that's also very prominent in Asian cultures. You'll see the grandparents, like the grandmothers, nursing their grandkids and stuff like that too. So, yeah, it's definitely you know, it's a whole culture. So. Doulas are really for everybody. And the word doula comes from a Greek word, and it basically is like a woman's servant. So a doula can really be anything that is of service. So sometimes you will see the term death doula. And so some people hire a death doula to basically provide care for a loved one when they are like on hospice care or like they're just at the end of life. And it's almost like basically like a nurse, like a home
CNA or home health aide or
you know, but we're doing a little bit less medical stuff. We're basically just providing comfort. So there are abortion doulas for people who don't have support and, you know, they're going to have an abortion. You can hire a doula to be there with you, to support you, to not judge you.
See, that I didn't know. I wouldn't have even thought about that.
Yep, there are abortion doulas. There might not be very many, but there are some out there in the community providing that service, especially for teen mothers, young mothers, mothers who, well, women who are victims of rape, things like that, to go be with you if you need to have an abortion. There are also doulas who work through certain programs that provide services for women who are incarcerated.
Yeah, that's so interesting.
Yeah, so there's a lot of doulas out there. So that's that. The spectrum of a doula is very wide, but we do not catch the babies, not unless there's like a serious emergency and there's nobody around and we have to, otherwise the baby's
Right.
gonna hit the floor. But we don't
Well,
catch the
Erykah
babies.
Badu catches the babies.
Oh, well, we ain't gonna talk about that.
She does. I've seen a couple of videos of her, being people's doula and stuff like that, which are actually cool because
Yeah.
I recently learned about her in the past like year or two. And I was like, oh, how fucking cool would that be to have Erykah as your
I
doula?
know, right? Be like,
Shit.
sing for me while I'm having these contractions, please.
I know, right? For
That
real.
would be, but yeah, so that's in short, I mean, I could go on and on forever about all the stuff a doula can do, but yeah, if you have to ask yourself, do you think a doula is right for you? Yes, a doula is right for you. It doesn't matter.
Right.
No matter what your outcome is, if your doula didn't get to support you during your labor, she can support you in other ways afterwards. Most doulas are, And another thing that I would like to shed light on is that a doula doesn't have to be a luxury where, people are hesitant to even begin looking into hiring a doula because they hear
Yeah.
that word and think celebrity status, like, oh, you got to have money. Like,
Right.
a doula doesn't have to be expensive. Like, the
Right.
rate of a doula strongly is based around where you live. So it's kind of just
Right.
like minimum wage, almost like wherever you live kind of determines the cost of things.
Right.
So if you live out in like, Cali and stuff like that, Hollywood area,
Yeah,
of
that's
course,
going to be a couple $1,000 just because they could do it.
you're gonna be looking at right, exactly, because their clientele has money. But,
Right.
if you're looking at underserved areas, for example, Waterbury, Connecticut, where I live, you're gonna get the potential to find a doula that's charging you a lot less, or maybe even able to do it for free through other programs. Some
Right.
hospitals even offer an in-doula program. So if anybody who's listening
Or
is
some
in the
type
state
of payment
of
plan.
Connecticut, right? If you're in the state of Connecticut, Danbury Hospital has an in-house doula program where you can be offered a doula who is already on site in like a rotating shift, almost like a nurse, which is pretty cool. Doulas like myself, like you mentioned, payment plans. I always offer a payment plan to anybody who wants it or needs it, no matter your financial status. Like, even if you have money that doesn't, and you're comfortable, that doesn't mean you want to drop $1,000 up front in one piece, And if you want to
Right.
take advantage of a payment plan, that's fine with me, as long as I get my money before you give birth. It's all good.
Right, exactly.
Payment plans make it really easy. And most doulas who are out there doing this work do it because they feel like women need the support and it's important. Almost in a sense, like, I don't want to say it like this to give anybody the wrong idea, but it's almost like charity work. Like, we do it because it's in our heart.
Right,
It's something that
exactly.
we really are passionate about, we love, and we feel like it's not a luxury and that everybody. Really?
Which I think is what doctors should be doing, but that's a whole nother topic on, so we'll talk about
Yeah. I mean, listen, I have a friend who is a midwife, and she's one of very few home birthing midwives in my state. I worked with her at a birth before, and she just posted to her Facebook the other day that she is owed at this date $29,000 from multiple families who have yet to pay their balances with her.
Wow.
Because she does sliding scale fees, she does payment plans, and sometimes she completely does the work for free if they can't afford it, because she is one of very few midwives in the state who will do a VBAC. So for those who don't know, that's a vaginal birth after cesarean section. The myth, some people still have this, the idea that once you have a
Right.
C-section, you always have to have a C-section. Not true under most circumstances. We can get into that at a later date. You could follow my find more information about that. But she's one of very few home birthing midwives who are especially skilled in that area. She works with the LGBTQ. Am I missing any letters? If I am, I'm
I have no
sorry.
idea.
I'm trying. She works very heavily with that community as well. So her services are in high demand, and she works with families who really, you know, have trouble affording. And she feels like if you want to feel safe in having a home birth, then you should be able to. And right. She's not rich by any means, you know, and she just posted literally almost $30,000 that families have not paid her.
That's crazy.
That she's just taking a hit on as a midwife. So, you know, don't think that, you know, we are out here for your money. Mm-hmm. Most of us who are in this work, you know, we really want to support you. So when we say a doula is for you, or you can have a home birth or whatever else, it's not all about the money. I mean, yes, it has to be about right. money to an extent. We have to support our kids and our families right. and whatever else. We, you know, most of us can't work completely for
but
free.
You don't get into that line of work because you want to make money.
Right, right. This is what we love to do. And I speak for a good amount of us. I can't speak for everybody, right. of course, because there's some out there who think it's just lavish and like, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. They think it's all about making money. But I mean, for somebody like me, it's actually difficult to make good money because I have small kids at home. I can't just always take doula clients all
right,
the time.
And be available on call.
Ask your brother to peel it for you. I don't have free hands right now. So I have a 3-year-old who is now throwing an orange across the room because I won't peel it for him right now.
Well, he'll get over it.
Oh, the joys. But yeah, so that's that. So in addition to my doula work, I have some specialties under my belt. Also, like you mentioned, placenta encapsulation specialist. Mm-hmm. I won't go into huge detail, but that's something else that I'm working very hard to bring out, make it a little bit less taboo, providing Ooh. The service and also providing the training to get more people who are offering the service. So I have a training program, both in person and distance. So anybody in any state can enroll and take the course and become a certified specialist to offer the service in their own community. So that's something else. And we were also talking about VBAC, vaginal birth after cesarean. So that's something that's especially close to my heart as a doula and as a mother, because I've had 2 VBACs,
right.
which means that I've had 2 C-sections also. It was really important to me to be able to at least have the opportunity to try mm-hmm. to have a vaginal birth after having the C-section, because who the hell wants to have unnecessary surgery? Like exactly. if you don't have to.
Exactly.
So,
and we both know that the majority of the time that shit be unnecessary.
Yep. So it's really especially close to my heart because VBAC is the reason why I became a doula right. because I was trying to have a VBAC with my 3rd baby, and I got in touch with a doula, and she helped me to be successful. She gave me the knowledge that I needed. She helped me to feel empowered, like I can do this. She provided me with good resources mm-hmm. that just helped me feel prepared, and I was successful. And after that, I was like, I want to do this, because I mean, even when I was younger, when I was like 8, I knew I wanted to deliver babies. Like I was like, I want to do this. It was something that was always in my radar. So it wasn't like, oh, this was just something that I just you know, decided on altogether. Like I always wanted to be in the birth field. I just didn't know exactly what. And I didn't really know what
to do when we was little. Yep. Talk about babies. We used to watch, what was it? A Baby Story. Oh my God.
A Baby
God.
Story. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, I always knew, but I just didn't know in depth. Right. Like I didn't even know about doulas really until I had my 3rd baby.
Yeah.
But once I did know, and she helped me to be successful with the birth that I wanted to have, I was like, this is it. This is what I want to do. And because of that experience, I became a doula myself. And along the way during my training is when I picked up the placenta encapsulation stuff. I kind of was just looking in some of the groups that I'm in, and I saw that, you know, that was a service, and it just so happened to be a special on the training mm-hmm. and it was online. I didn't have to like go to physical classes and be there. And I was like, oh, I could do this. It's on special too. So I just signed up and I was like, whatever. You know, just to have something extra under my belt, something extra that I could offer to my clients. But I had no idea that it was going to turn into what it turned into after that. Like, I fell in love and I thought it was just something that I was going to be able to offer if somebody wanted it. But now it's like I'm almost more known for being a placenta encapsulation specialist and instructor than I am for being a doula. I kind of feel like I abandoned my doula work for it, but I love it so much. Like, it's just fascinating to me, like, you know, all the science behind it and just how each one is so different. And I also like being able to kind of be a little bit more flexible. It allows me to still be able to be with my kids and not have to really I'm still on call, but I don't have to be gone. Like, I'm on call and I go pick the placenta up and I work on it and then I deliver the capsule. So it's not as much of a time requirement for me, like, to be away from home. So it's definitely been beneficial for me to be able to run my placenta business, both encapsulating and training, while raising the kids. So,
and homeschooling.
And homeschooling and running a charity. Hey, look, you created this monster, though. You were the one who got me into all of this entrepreneurship. Let's get this money.
I mean, like, it is what it is. I know I don't like working for other people, and, you know, with us having kids and needing to be home and needing to find a sitter and all that shit is just like, no. Who wants to
depending on other people?
If you don't have to deal with that, then do it. I mean, entrepreneurship is not for everybody. We know that, but I mean, I'd rather be home with my kids. So
But I mean, yeah, so I actually, on my Facebook memories, you probably saw it. It was a post from 2 years ago, as of a couple days ago, that my husband went and told my boss that I wasn't coming back to work. We were working at the same place, by the way. So I didn't like send him to my job for those wonders. I'm talking to the podcast listeners, not you.
No, I'm saying I remember when y'all used to work together.
Yeah, so he went back one day and just told my boss, like, yeah, she's not coming back. And he was like, I'm gonna hold down the fort while you, you know, stay home with the kids and you focus on your business. And I never went back. So it's been 2 years fully that I've been working for myself. And the first year was kind of like I wasn't really doing all that much. But this past year, so 2019 was bonkers. Like, my training program really took off. To date, I have probably over 100 students who enrolled just in the past year. And I set a goal for myself, which might seem minor to some people, but I set a goal for myself to be able to fund all of the expenses for Christmas. For my kids without utilizing my husband's income. Now, we share income. We're not one of those married couples that's like, he have his own money, I have my own money. You know, his money's mine, my money's his. It doesn't really matter. But to know that I could sustain something with just the income that I brought in made, you know, it helped validate myself as a small business owner. Like, you know, to hit a small goal, to know that I was able to contribute to the household in my own way, you know, made me feel, it makes you feel good. Because even if my husband is holding down the fort with all the bills or whatever, I don't want to feel like just a housewife and my business ain't shit. Like, because there's been times where, like, you know, I hate to put him out there, but he made me feel like my business wasn't, your little business. Like, oh, my little business. For the car to get fixed, though, right? When you was like, oh, the car needs a new radiator, but I don't have the money right now. And I was like, well, I have the money. He was like, you got money? Yeah, I got money.
Right, exactly. But you know what? I think a lot of people do that because it's foreign. It's foreign for somebody to not go out and work. So when you home with kids and you got to cook and clean and do whatever else, it makes it seem like that's all you did. No, you don't know what the fuck I've been doing all day.
There have been days
it's friends and family that do that. Oh, you know, how are you going to pay your bills? What the fuck you mean? I'm a business owner and I make money. What do you mean? I'm going to pay my bills the same way you do. The only difference is I work for myself. You go work for somebody else. So people, I think people are just, I don't even think they realize that they do that shit. Oh, your little business.
Right.
Like no.
I'm literally like sustaining things, like helping to sustain my household. Like I'm contributing to my household with my little business. Exactly. So mind your little business.
Exactly.
Because, I mean, I did pretty good this year. I'm not rolling in money, but I wasn't, you know, really struggling either, which was a first for a long time because it's a struggle. Like, you know, it hasn't been easy, but, it's not to say that I haven't struggled at all, you know, for 2019, because there had definitely been struggles, but, you know, it has been a lot better. And seeing such a drastic change this past year, you know, really motivates me to do things even bigger this year. And, you know, I like I said, I felt validated after the holiday season. Like, wow, like I did this shit. Right. Like, you know, so don't look down on the small business owners who's at home, because there have been days where my husband came home from work, and I mean, my husband has a decent job. You know, he works as a mail carrier, so he has decent benefits. Mm-hmm. He gets decent pay. But there have been days where he's come home from a 12-hour shift and I made more money than him. Right. Sitting in my bed on my laptop watching five kids homeschooling.
Hearing that ding. So you've got money.
Yep. When that website go off and you like, yep. And he comes home and, oh, you didn't cook? No, but I made $800 today. How much you made?
Right. So basically,
like I've been sitting here making money.
Right. So for people out there who just don't realize or don't even think about it, you know, when you see these small businesses, a lot of the time it's not people just trying to make money. These are people, real people with real families, trying to make money to support their families. And that's what it is. You know, we use that money to feed our kids and to feed ourselves and to pay bills and buy clothes and you know, things like
extracurricular
that. So, so support.
I'm making money so I could go out to the club and pop bottles and whatnot. Like, no, y'all are really supporting the same way as me having to go out and work for Walmart and you coming in Walmart and buying stuff, which is helping us to get paid. It's the same thing. Like,
you know, you shop, you don't have to give up half your check.
Exactly. So, you know, and that's why I keep it real on my Facebook page. Like I share with my followers, and I shared right after Christmas, and I posted a picture of the Christmas tree. And I'm like, look, this is what y'all did.
Right.
This is y'all. You know, because y'all supported me and hired me.
Uh-oh. I think we lost you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, there we go.
Oh, my screen, like, locked, so I don't know. Maybe that's what happened. Yeah, but
we can cut that part out.
Yeah. I'm like, if you purchased something from me or took my class or hired me or whatever, this is all y'all. Like, y'all helped me to do it. And when you shop with small businesses, you paying for somebody's kid to take soccer class. You paying, you know, for a week's worth of groceries or, you know, whatever. Exactly. Because literally, when somebody buys one elderberry syrup from me, that's $18, right? So $18 don't seem like shit, but guess what? My kids like to go roller skating every Wednesday. And roller skating, they have their own skates. So roller skating for each one, $4. So four of my kids can roller skate. That's $16.
Right.
That one bottle of elderberry that you just bought from me helped me to take my four kids to go roller skating that week.
Right.
Exactly. So people don't really think about it like that, but it's like, for real, like, you know, one purchase makes a big difference in what you support, and for me and for my family and for my kids, and for my kids especially who are homeschooled, getting them out of the house to extracurricular activities is everything, you know, for them to socialize and just do stuff. And without the money, you know, I pay for everything out of pocket. You know, we don't get no assistance from the state because we homeschool, and we damn sure don't get no tax cuts, no tax breaks because we homeschool. So we paying taxes that into public school systems. Meanwhile, I'm not seeing none of the benefit of that because I homeschool.
Right.
So
exactly.
I'm paying tax money and other people's kids are going to public school getting whatever type of benefits, free lunch and free breakfast and shit. Well, fuck. Somebody come give my kids some goddamn breakfast because I got five boys and they hungry.
Right, exactly.
Like, we don't get no free breakfast and lunch and stuff like that around here. So everything that I do comes out of pocket for us. So when you support small businesses, you know, just think about what you're supporting. So yes, you might sometimes be able to get your product a little bit cheaper somewhere else, but those couple extra dollars that you spend in, you know, is really making a difference for somebody rather than supporting a huge chain that have millions and billions of dollars that they just being cheap with paying somebody right. minimum wage.
Right. Exactly.
You know, I sell elderberry syrup. It's $18 for a 2 ounce bottle. Can you go get an 8 ounce bottle from Walmart from a like large brand for like $8? Yeah. But is it going to be the same quality either? Because I make mine in small batches and I make it fresh with organic ingredients. How long has that elderberry been sitting on the Walmart shelf in the warehouse before it got to the store? And when is the expiration date? How good, you know, how long is it good for? And what they make it with? And, you know, whatever else. So it's like, you know, think about those things too when you support small businesses.
Exactly. Well, we're going to cut this. I was going to say short, but it's been about 30 minutes, so that's kind of long. But because Dwight is calling me and sending me pictures of planter pots for the garden, so I got to see what the hell he's trying to ask me.
Oh, boy.
I know, because he wants we need some bigger pots for his peppers this year, so he's sending me pictures of stuff. I know, he's sending me pictures of stuff, but it looks like the same size pots that we already have, and I'm like, yeah, no.
And then all the damn peppers.
Exactly. All right, so that's all we have today. And like I said, again, this is Ashanti, who is my sister, and you can probably hear my little nephews in the background. And whoever's listening, thanks for tuning in to Conversations with a Blogger. Be sure to listen out for the next episode. Thank you.
Bye.
All right, guys, once again, thank you for tuning in and be sure to visit the website at www.themominmeblog.com.